Yismach Yisrael for Parshas Noach, from page 11, Os Gimel. He quotes a Medrash. Bo El Ateva. We know that Hashem gives very specific commands to Noach when to enter the Teva, when to exit the Teva. So the Pasuk says, Bo El Ateva, come to the Teva. Says the Medrash, Pasuk says, Te'aved Dovrei Chazav. Pasuk in Tehillim Parakei, Te'aved Dovrei Chazav. Those who speak Chazav. What is Chazav?
False.
Falsely. Hamanti ki adaber kol adam kozev, like we say in Halo. Right? Chazav means lies, or falsehood. So te'abei dovre chazav. Those who speak falsehood, te'abei, should be lost, should be removed, should be forgotten, should be erased. Heim chazav umidrosehen chazav. They are liars and their words are falsehood. Va'ani kasher osu kein asisi. Alabachasacha batachti shechasta alai va'amarta bo'alateva. Kein hevi ha'yeshuas Yaakov hanusa. Now he says, the Medrash, this is how the Medrash is quoted by the Yeshuas Yaakov. What's happening here? So the Medrash quotes a pasuk that there are people who say things and their words are false, and their whole mohus is false. Va'ani kasher osu kein asisi. But I, as I kasher osu kein asisi, as they did, I did. Meaning what? V'chasta chabatachti, shechasta alai v'amarta bo l'tev. We'll see how he explains the Medrash. No, it's... The point we're going to learn this morning in Oz Gimel is Noach's bitachon in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Noach says, I was living in a world of falsehood, a world where people's, their words weren't true and their actions weren't true. And Noach says, I did what I was told to do, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me instructions, and I trusted in Hashem to carry out those instructions. Now we'll have to see what that means, what it means to trust in Hashem to carry out those instructions. He says, this is how the Yeshua's Yaakov brings the Medrash. And the Medrash has printed in our edition, the Medrash is a little bit different. We need to understand what this Medrash is trying to convey. We know that Noach lived in a time of bad people. We know that Noach is an Ish Tzaddik. Right? But what exactly is this idea, b'chasecha batachti, that I trusted in your kindness, Hashem, right? That shachasta alai v'amarta bo l'teva. That Hashem says to Noach, you took refuge in me, and you listened when I told you Bo El Ateva. So let's understand. So he says, Ef sharnu chalafar sho b'derech remez, we can perhaps explain in the following fashion. Ki midas bitachon mevuar b'sefer ha'amuna v'abitachon l'ramban. Amuna and bitachon. How does amuna and bitachon work? The Ramban brought a sefer, small sefer, called amuna and bitachon. And the Ramban explains, Sha'af l'tov tzarech midas bitachon. That even for good things, you need bitachon. Let's go back to the Medrash again. What's the chiddush of this Medrash? The question I think that's bothering the Yismach Yisrael and other Mepharshim is, what does it mean I had bitachon and Hashem and entered the Teva? If you're in the middle of a raging mabul, and there's a boat, and you could save your life by getting on the boat, so like, what's the big bitachon here in entering the Teva? What's the tremendous trust in Hashem to enter the Teva? Did he contemplate not getting on the boat and just dying? Again, Noach believed this was really happening. He was communicating with God. It's a pell that other people didn't get on the Teva. According to Chazal, people at some point wanted to get onto the Teva, and they were blocked by animals from entering the Teva. So, it's not like such a chiddush that Noach went on to the Teva. He had bitachon in Hashem to go on to the Teva. What's the bitachon? He trusted in Hashem to go on to the Teva. What was the big trust in Hashem to go on to the Teva? So, explains the Ramban in his Emunah Bitachon, Sha'af l'tov tzarech midas bitachon. Even for good things, a person needs bitachon. You need to trust Hashem. What does that mean? Well, the pasuk says, "Bitach ba'Hashem va'asei tov." Trust in God and do good. Hainu, l'maisa ha'tov. ulahachana rabba hanachutza l'chol ha-mitzvos. Sometimes a person doesn't believe that they're worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. So even when they feel that there's an opportunity to save themselves, they feel almost like it's inappropriate to take that opportunity. We know that Noach is called a tzaddik, because we have the Torah and Hashem says he's an ish tzaddik tamim hayim b'dorosav. But Noach himself wasn't sure necessarily why he was the one who was being saved. He did not feel that he had enough merit of his own to be saved. So therefore, when it comes to doing good things, when it comes to doing mitzvos, which are of necessity and are certainly good, sometimes a person feels, I'm not worthy of this. Who am I to be engaged in this mitzvah? And how can I enter into the king's palace when I'm wearing rags? What right do I have to learn Torah? I'm not consistent enough. Maybe I've lost my right to learn Torah. Maybe I've lost the right, since I use my body sometimes in a sinful way, maybe I've lost the right to wear tefillin. Who am I to put tefillin upon my body? And who am I to do this? And who am I to do that? So there's a certain lack of confidence that we sometimes have. Afal piche, nonetheless, bal yakil ve'inav ulimnoa legeshes el hakodesh. Nonetheless, we have to overcome that anxiety. And we have to what? We have to not treat it lightly. We have to force ourselves to draw close to Hashem. And the way that we do that is through bitachon. Again, if I were to ask you, right, should we have such doubts about doing mitzvahs? It's a mitzvah. It's a commandment. It's not an optional. You have to do it. But we sometimes psych ourselves out because we feel an unworthiness. So therefore, we need to have bitachon. We have to have trust that even if we don't really deserve it, nonetheless, we can and are still expected and should do it. Rak yivtach ba'Hashem, v'yishan ba'lokav, trust in Hashem, rely upon Him, ki yisayehu v'yizke lasos hatov b'shleimus. And gain the confidence that you'll be able to carry out the good thing that God has commanded you to do. And that's what it means, v'zehu b'tach ba'Hashem v'asei tov. Trust in Hashem and do good. Don't psych yourself out and convince yourself that you're not worthy. So therefore, we're going to praise Noach for having the bitachon to trust Hashem that even though, who am I to go on the boat? Who am I to be saved? Who am I to give Musar to my generation? Noach trusted that if God told him to do it, then he's going to do it. And he didn't dismiss himself based on his own self-assessment. That's the implication of the words of the Ramban. Even though he doesn't say it exactly like that. But even when it comes to good things, you have to have bitachon. But I mean, it's a good thing. It's obvious that I should do it. But there's a certain lack of confidence that we have. That we have to convince ourselves that I have a right to do good things. Because sometimes, but I also do bad things. So what right do I have to do good things? Trust in Hashem and do the right thing. So now we can come, he says, seven lines from the bottom to understand our medrash. Ki Noach yada ba'atzmo sha'af hu eino kedai. Noach looked at himself and he said, I'm living in a world of liars, and I myself am not necessarily worthy. As Chazal explained, Ela Kedire Chazal, Ela Shematza Chain. His name Noach, the same letters as Chain. Noach was Matza Chain. Chayin is not something you really earn. Chayin is a certain grace, a certain kindness. Mitzad midas chanun, it's Hashem's mercy upon you. Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's from Hashem's perspective. Aval lo mitzido mima'asav hatov, it wasn't something that he earned. Noach didn't really feel that he was so different than the generation. El shabatach ba'Hashem sha'amr lo bo el ateva. So says the Medrash, but Noach, unlike the other people, you trusted in me and you listened when I said get on the boat. Why do you have to trust? What's the big trust in God? Get on the boat, there's a marble. You're better off on the boat than dying in the scalding hot waters. There were hot waters. Mamish Gehenim on earth. The main Noach was a Gehenim on earth. That's why some tzaddikim say that main Noach, as the marble is referred to, in the Haftorah, in Yeshaya, the Navi refers to the marble as main Noach, the waters of Noach. Right, which many Svarim say is critique of Noach, his failure to daven for the people and to properly guide the generation. caused the waters to be called Mei Noach. Mei Noach, Noach's waters, not Noach's waters, the generation brought these waters. He was the good guy. But it's called Mei Noach because of his failure to guide people. But the tzaddikim say it was mamish, it was a Gehenna on earth. It wasn't just water. It was a total apocalypse. But it was hot water. It was scalding hot water. So the Svarim say that Mei Noach is Gematria Gehenna. It was a Gehenna on earth. It was mamish a Gehenna on earth. That's what tzaddikim say. Mei Noach is Gematria Gehenna, 108. Okay. So it took a certain confidence to get on the boat. You'll say, what do you mean it's obvious he got on the boat? If he's going to sit there and just let himself die in the scalding hot waters? And the answer is, Noach had to convince himself. He had to have trust in Hashem that despite being unworthy, for whatever reason, Noach matzachein b'enei Hashem, Noach found favor in the eyes of God, and he did what he needed to do. Even though he didn't understand, why me? Why am I selected for this? It's the same question we all have about why should we even pretend to dream about the possibility of Mashiach coming in our time. We're definitely worse than earlier generations. So that makes us less likely candidates to be the ones to greet Mashiach. Right? And yet Hashem is telling us, no, you have to be ma'amin b'chol yom that Mashiach is going to come. Every day. And the fact that it didn't come in earlier generations is even more of an encouragement that it's going to come now. But there's this feeling of like, what? We're going to be the ones who Hashem comes to bring Mashiach to? So it takes a certain bitachon to trust that Hashem actually is interested in you and likes you. But Hashem says, he said, what merit am I going to be saved? Why do I deserve this? It made him very uncomfortable. But he felt, this is what God is asking me to do, and he had the emunah to do so. Last line on the page. This is what Rashi explains here in the page, that Noach was ma'amin ve'eino ma'amin. Noach believed and he didn't believe. Rashi says that it wasn't until the water was up to his ankles, or maybe his knees, that he entered the teva. Noach didn't go in right away. The water was rising, and then Noach kind of got pushed in. So Rashi says, ma'amin ve'eino ma'amin. He believed, but he didn't really believe. Like, he wasn't really sure what was happening here. Even though he's been building this boat for a long time. A lot of different explanations of this Rashi. The way the Yismach Yisrael explains, Hainu Shehemin B'divrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he believed that God was bringing him Abel, Ma'amin, Ve'eino Ma'amin, but what didn't he believe? Aval Eino Ma'amin, Shevim Abel La'olam, V'hu Yanitzo. The part that was hard for him to believe is that he believed that God was serious, that this was going to happen. But he couldn't understand, Eino Mami, he couldn't grasp, why am I going to make it through? There's better candidates to make it through or not, or maybe no one should make it through. Noah didn't understand why he was selected to survive. Eino Mami, Shiyavi Mabel Olam, Vahu Yanitzel. He couldn't understand that if such a Mabel were to occur, why should I be saved? I'm just not big enough, I'm not worthy enough. That I should see the downfall of all the wicked people of the generation. He said, I'm not so different than them. Okay, relatively, maybe I'm a little bit better, but not enough that if the world is falling apart, that I deserve to be put in the category of my own. Ukamaim rechazal v'huva kan barashizal on the pasuk. Al tabit acharecha. When Sodom is being destroyed in Parshas Vayera, and Lot and his family are being plucked out of there, and they're told what? Al tabit acharecha, don't look back. Why are they told not to look back? Why aren't they allowed to look back at seeing the city of Sodom destroyed? They're not allowed to look back. Rashi explains, She'ein chakadai liros ma'afalasan. Because you can't look back and say, oh, look at those sinners being destroyed. You also deserve to be destroyed. You're only being saved because of your connection to Avram Avinu. Right? And when Mrs. Lot looks back, she turns into a pillar of salt. So you're not allowed to see. It's actually very interesting. The Svarim say, it says in the Pasuk that Noach was told, Tzohar Tasa Lateva. Tzohar Tasa Lateva. What is the Tzohar that he was told to make for the Teva? A light for the Teva. So Rashi has two opinions. What are the two opinions? One opinion is a window, and one opinion is a shining stone that illuminated the Teva. What are those two opinions based on? So many different Svarim bring. It depends if you hold that Noach was a big tzaddik. Yesh darshim l'shavach, v'yesh darshim l'gnai. If he's a big tzaddik, then he's allowed to have what? A window. Because if you have a window, that means he's allowed to look outside and see the bad guys being destroyed. Because he deserves to be saved. But if he's not that much better than anyone else, then he's also not allowed to look. There's no windows on the teva. And therefore he has to have an internal source of light. And that's how the Yismach Yisrael is explaining the feeling of Noach. Noach felt, I don't deserve to look out the window. I don't deserve to see the downfall of others because I'm not any better than them. I'm getting by on my chayin, whatever chayin is. It's a hard thing to describe. A certain rachmanis that Hashem has upon me, a certain grace and favor that I found in Hashem's eyes. And I don't really understand why I'm being saved. V'av shiyada kol zeh, batach b'chaste Hashem. And despite knowing all of this, the praise of Noach is what? He was a bal bitachon. He convinced himself, it's such an interesting take on bitachon, no? To have the bitachon that God actually likes you, is what we're learning today. We think of bitachon, like I go for a job interview, I have to trust that if I get the job or not, that's, you know, it's in Hashem's hand. If I make a lot of money or not, if the business goes well or not, that's all in Hashem's hand. This is a totally different type of bitachon. This is B'tach ba'Hashem va'asei tov. To trust Hashem, that Hashem is willing to see you in a positive enough light that you're worthy of doing mitzvahs. That you're worthy of Hashem's salvation. That you're worthy of Hashem's compassion. It's a totally different type of bitachon. To believe that God likes you. That's what we're learning today. It's such an interesting idea. U'ma'gam achrei sheshom v'pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo el ha'teva. And therefore, after Noah heard God say to him, enter the teva. Hera ladas chaste Hashem hagedolim. She'amar lo lavo el teva li natzel. And it was displayed before him that God is offering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is offering him salvation. U'batach bo b'bitachon gamor. And he trusted that if Hashem says so, that's what I'm going to do. Ki ka'asher retzono yisbarach l'chayoso, betach yizke o l'takin v'lasos nachas ruach liotso v'leired l'hateva uli natzel. He said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling me this, then apparently I'm going to, you know, if Hashem has gotten me to this point, Hashem's going to get me through, and I'm going to make Hashem proud, and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And Noach, it's not just about surviving, it's about, wait a minute, so you're picking me, if I'm going to survive, you're picking me to rebuild the world afterwards, awesome. And you see that Noach is grappling with that. He comes off the teva, he plants a vineyard, and he gets drunk because he just can't fathom that I'm the one who's supposed to shape the world. I'm the chosen one. And I don't see myself as that. There's that feeling of uncertainty. So it took bitachon, both in Hashem's, he had to trust that God actually likes him, and he had to trust in himself, and that's what he's grappling with. He's mamin ve'eno mamin. He believes that there's going to be a mabul, but he's having a really hard time believing that he deserves to be saved, that he's going to rebuild the world, and that he's worthy of any of this kindness of Hashem. He's struggling with that. Yeah, Yura.
If he was actually doing the same things as everyone else, and he has a good kasha, why should he be saved?
Right.
And why is it a value to think, oh, Hashem loves me, I have become ready to be saved, if he's like everyone else?
Right.
And if he's not like everyone else, then is he delusional?
Right, right.
See, I'm not like everyone else.
So I'll put it into, it's a good question, but I think to clarify, let's just put it into our world today. Yeah, when we look at ourselves compared to some people in the world, when I walk down the street and I size myself up and my worthiness compared to just any other human being who's not living a life of Torah and mitzvahs. So on the one hand, I could say, you know, statements from tzaddikim like it would be kedai to come to this world for 80 years of suffering just to put on tefillin one time. So if I put on tefillin once, I'm already head and shoulders above that person who never put on tefillin. Right? So on the one hand, I could say, yeah, of course, I'm a totally different league. On the other hand, I could say, but let's be honest for a second. I have the exact same taivas as that guy walking down the street. And I've given into some of the same yitzharas as that guy walking down the street. So okay, so yeah, so I keep Shabbos. And I daven. And I learn a little bit of Torah. So yes, on some level, I'm in a totally different league than this guy. On the other hand, let's be honest, I'm also struggling with some of the same Olam Hazeh in Yanin that a totally secular person is struggling with. And maybe it's even worse, because if I know God, and I know Torah, and I know, so then Why can't I get past some silly, you know, some silly traps of the Yetzer Hara? So I think that's what Noach says. Noach says, I know I'm not a ganav like the rest of the world. I know I'm not as big of a pervert as some of the sexually immoral behavior that was taking place in his time. So Noach said, I know I have a relationship with God, but let's be honest. Like, I'm also a human being. And I'm not, he didn't see himself as being so far above and beyond. Again, who am I to pull Noach down in that way? But I think for ourselves, we can get that. On the one hand, we could say, a brach in the morning, shaloh asani goy, I'm a Jew, I'm categorically different than the rest of the world. And on the other hand, let's be honest, we're not so different. We're not so different. Some of us watch the same movies and TV shows and listen to the same music, and have the same Yetzer Hara, and idolize the same athletes, and follow the same sports teams. So we're also osik in all of the things that they're osik in. So why is Hashem going to bring Mashiach to us? Why would Hashem give me the Torah? Why does Hashem care about my tefillos? Where am I so categorically different than the world that I deserve to be saved? So Noach is grappling with that. Okay, the line that begins, V'lasum she'eris ba'aretz. He's paraphrasing a pasuk in Parshas Vayigash, that there should be a remnant in the land, that I'm going to be the sole survivor. He just doesn't think that he's like on that level. You know, if you saved a lot of people, I could be maybe amongst them. But that I should be your guy, that I should be the chosen one, very hard for him to accept. Aval dor ha-mabul pogmo b'midas ha-bitachon. The dor ha-mabul, right, which certainly had all of the averos, much of their shortcoming was what? Was the lack of bitachon. And if you look at the specific averos, we start to understand the fact that Noach was able to believe was a tremendous chiddush. Because what were the averos? What avera is a very clear expression of a lack of bitachon. We're trying to make Noach into this baal bitachon, that he had the courage to trust that God is going to save him. So what avera expresses a lack of trust? Stealing. Stealing is an easy example. You know why? The pasuk says, "Vatimalei ha'aretz chamas." Explains Rashi, lo nechtam gzardin ela ala gazel. Their fate was sealed because of theft. What am I saying when I steal? When I steal, I'm saying that I don't believe that I'm going to be able to what? Pay my bills. I'm not going to be able to live the lifestyle I want to live. I'm not going to have the things that I need unless what? I take it by force. God's not going to be able to provide it for me. So the only way I'm going to be able to own this thing or to get this thing is to take it on my own. Hainu, misha boteach ba'Hashem. A person who trusts in Hashem. Ki ka'asher hechya oso, betach lo yazvenu. If God is keeping you alive, we have to believe, says the Yismach Yisrael, that God is going to not abandon you and God is going to provide for you. V'yazmin lo parnasaso. If Hashem puts you on this earth, well then, if Hashem's keeping you alive, then it's His job to provide you with what you need. Now, you could go ahead and try to get it on your own, or you could wait for God to give it to you, and you could ask Hashem to give it to you in a proper way. There's a great little story that the Sefer Eretz Tzvi tells. Eretz Tzvi is the Kodjik lover of Arye Tzvi Fromer. He was one of the leaders in Yeshiva Schachme Lublin. He died in the Holocaust. And as we always point out, there's a picture of him, if you want to see what he looked like. He's a very beautiful-looking Jew. You go to the library, you hit 5A, and when you walk out of the elevator, you'll see there's a picture of him on the wall. Because some of his relatives donated significantly to the YU library. So anyway, the paper is called Eretz Tzvi. So in Parshas Vayetze, he tells a story. I'm pretty sure it's the Rebbe of Vorki. I'm blanking at the moment. I think the Rebbe of Vorki had a shamash, or had someone who worked for him, someone who was, you know, in his home. And the Rebbe had some money that he was keeping in a drawer. Because he wanted to buy, he was saving up, the Rebbe was putting aside money to buy this worker, this fellow, I don't know if it was shamash, some cleaning help, I don't know who it was, this guy who spent some time in and around his house, helping out in some capacity, who had access to the Rebbe's, office. So he's putting aside some money for a period of time in the drawer because he wanted to buy this guy a new pair of shoes. The Rebbe wanted to buy him a new pair of shoes. What happened? What happened was this fellow saw that there was some money lying around. right? And he couldn't control his desire, and he stole the money. And the Rebbe said to him, the money that you stole was money that I was putting aside to buy you a pair of shoes. And if you would have waited, you would have had it beheter, and now you took it be'isser. You stole it instead of allowing it to come to you when it was meant to come to you. Such an important story. Because that's exactly what we do with Hashem. There's so many things that are coming to us, but if you try to force Hashem's hand, so to speak, it shows a lack of bitachon. Gezel is an amazing expression of a lack of bitachon. So therefore, if God made you alive, if God gave you life, you have to believe that this can work. This is a sustainable plan. Yasmin lo parnasaso, that Hashem can provide you with your sustenance. Kiuzanu mefarnes mikarne re'emim ad beitzei kinim. You see where we are? About halfway down the column? Mikarne, middle of the first word in the line, mikarne re'emim ad beitzei kinim. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, daf gimelam ad beis. That Hashem sustains from the karne re'emim, which is a very large animal, ad beitzei kinim. Beitzei kinim, Rashi, I think, in Avodah Zarah says, is not the eggs of lice, right, which is obviously very small. But Beit Zekinim is actually itself a creature that's very small. But it's a Gemara's expression of saying that God takes care of the biggest and the smallest alike. Or like we say in the Tefillah Siyam Naram, Hashem is Mashveh Katan V'Gadol, Gadol V'Katan. Hashem equates big and small. There's no such thing as like you're asking God for too much. And that's what Noach was struggling with. Who am I that it's a waste of God's time and energy to save me? It's not true. It's not true. And Noach overcame that anxiety. And we're praising Noach. Unlike the generation that lacked bitachon, because they were involved in theft, Noach overcame that fear, and he was able to trust in God and enter the table. V'ein adam nogei v'mucham l'chaveron. You can't touch something that is destined for your friends. And if you believe this, you won't steal, and you will not desire to become rich from that which is not yours. But that generation, they didn't trust in Hashem, and therefore they stole, they took advantage of each other, and that was the crime. Now, look at this. This is a deep secret. Okay, we're going to learn a Kabbalistic secret now. He writes, V'zehu perish. That's the pshat in the pasuk. Look at this. This is amazing. Vatishaches ha'aretz lifnei ha'alukim. Pasuk says about this generation. What does it say about them? Vatishaches ha'aretz lifnei ha'alukim. That the earth was tishaches. What's tishaches? It was corrupted. It was corrupted before God. Right? So obviously the simple pshat means that Hashem looked down upon the world and he saw it's really bad. Things are really falling apart. However, it's explained in the Siddur Arizal the following. Pasuk says, Bitchu b'Hashem ade ad. Trust in God ade ad. It means like ad hasof. Believe in God all the way. Go all in. Bitchu b'Hashem, trust in God ade ad. Until then and beyond. Believe in Hashem ade ad. Says the Arizal, that ad, trust in God until ad, ayin dalid, is the shame of bitachon, is the name of God that alludes to bitachon. It's God's name of trust. There's many names that God has. There's ones that we're very familiar with, like Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Elohim, Kel, Shakai, right? Aleph, Dalid, Nun, and Yud. There's names that we're familiar with. There's a lot of other names of God. One of the Kabbalistic names of God, take a look, is the name that appears in the next line, right under the word Ad. You see Aleph, Chaf, Dalid, Tes, Mem. You see that? That's a Kabbalistic name of God. Aleph, Chaf, Dalid, Tes, Mem. Okay, I'll tell you where it comes from in a second. First, just add up the gematria. What's the gematria of Aleph, Chaf, Dalid, Tes, Mem? Ad, 74. The gematria of Aleph Chav Dalet Tes Mem is 74, which is Ad. And that name is what's referred to by the Arizal as the Shem Bitachon, the name of trust in God. Now what does that mean? That means if I'm struggling in my trust in God, I should, I don't know, meditate upon this name, I should say this name, like, what am I supposed to do with this name? That's a good question. Okay, but this is the Shem Bitachon. Let's read inside. Bitru Ba'Hashem Ade Ad. Hainu sheshem habichon hu gematria ad. The gematria of the name of Bichon is what? Is ad. Now, what are these letters? Seems like a random and strange collection of letters. Okay? So the name, this name, Aleph, Chaf, Dalet, Tes, and Mem, are the letters before Elohim. Take the letters of God's name, Aleph, Lamed, and He, and Yud, and Mem. Okay, now I have to teach you how this works. What letter comes before Aleph? Nothing. Okay, so Aleph, the letter before Aleph, Elohim, stays in Aleph. We're matching up this Kabbalistic name of God with the name Elohim. What letter comes before Lamed? Chaf. What letter comes before He? Dalet. What letter comes before Yud in Elohim? Tes. And what letter comes before Mem? So you think it should be Lamed, right? But the way that it works is that in front of a Mem Sofit comes a regular Mem. Okay, so even though it's printed on the page in front of you as a Mem Sofit, it's really a regular Mem. Okay? So the letter before Aleph is Aleph. The letter before Mem Sofit is regular Mem. The middle three letters are easier to understand. Before Lamed is Chaf. Before Hey is Dalet. Before Yud is Tes. And you add these up, and this is 74. Okay? Good? Good? Okay. Yosef has some questions on this. I did too. It's hard to understand. Right? But I can assure you that Rizal is not, cheating just to say, gematrias. Okay? This is a Kabbalistic name of God, and the gematria of this name is 74. So that's what it means when the Navi says, when the Navi was transmitting the word of God, and he says, Bitchu b'Hashem ad de'ad, trust in Hashem. Until ad, he's hinting to this name, which is gematria ad. Now these are the letters what? The letters in front of Elohim. What does the Pasuk say about the Dor HaMabul? Vatishachis ha'aretz lifnei ha'elokim. That the Dor HaMabul, which lacked bitachon, they were destroying what? They were destroying lifnei ha'elokim. They were destroying, so to speak, the letters before Elohim. They were destroying the Shem bitachon. They were destroying their bitachon. They didn't trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look inside. Heima osios shelifnei Elohim. V'zehu shem hamituk hamamtik l'chol adina mishem Elohim. The shem Elohim is a name of midas hadin. When you have bitachon, when you move the letters back, it's a way of sweetening the judgment. It's a way of removing the harsh judgment. So those who had bitachon didn't face the harshest punishment of all time, maybe, the Mabul. V'zehu gam kein shem shezochen al yedei tshuva. This is a name of tshuva. Anyone know what holiday is associated with this name of Hashem? Purim, sort of. Lag BaOmer. This is the name. This name of Hashem also hints to Lag BaOmer. The Arizal says, and the Arizal says, if you look at the middle three letters, the three letters that actually change, because the Aleph of Elohim stays an Aleph, and the Mem stays a Mem. The three middle letters, right? The three middle letters, Adam had an easier time accepting, right? And an easier time accepting the three middle letters. Yeah, but that an Aleph goes back, it has nowhere to go, so it stays an Aleph, and the Mem Sofit goes back to a Mem. Why doesn't the Mem go back to a Lamed? Okay. Because I'm telling you, you have to put the Sofit letters in the string of from Aleph to Tuf. You have Chaf, Chaf Sofit, Mem, Mem Sofit, Nun, Nun Sofit. The three middle letters that change, what's the gematria of the three middle letters that change? It's the gematria of the three middle letters. 33. So the Rizal talks how this is the name, this Chaf Dalet Tes is somehow the secret of Lag BaOmer. Gematria 33. Okay, not for now. Right? Not for now. You can think about what Rishon Bar Yochai has to do with Bitachon, or Rishon Bar Yochai has to do with giving Bitachon exactly in this way, to those who feel unworthy. That was one of Rishon Bar Yochai's hallmarks. Being able to mechazik a Jew who feels unworthy of Hashem. Right? I'll say something that Yoni's thinking, so I'll say it. I have Ruach HaKodesh today. Bitchu b'Hashem ad de'ad, of course, also, ad, is Rosh Tevos what? No, Velvel? You're a veteran, you should be able to pull this one out. How does Rashi tell us? No? Ikvus of the Mashiach. Right? So, Bitchu Hashem Ade Ad is sort of like that Gemara in Makos that says what? Tzadik be'amunaso yichya. That when it all comes down to it, at the end of the day, if the Torah had to be summed up in one principle, it's what? It's emunah bitachon. Which is why you see people today grappling with emunah bitachon. And you see a lot of svarim being written about emunah bitachon. And people who are talking honest things are talking a lot about the importance of emunah bitachon. Because that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. But again, specifically in this sugya, bitchu ba'Hashem, believe that Hashem cares about you. Believe that Hashem will save you, even if the rest of the world is a mabul and you feel like, I have a shaychis to all the same averos that, you know, outside my window. Right? Why do I get to go on the teva? Why do I get to ride it out to Mashiach? I'm not so much better than the average guy in the street. And the answer is, bitchu ba'Hashem, trust in Hashem, ade ad. Ad stands for ikvasa de Mashiach, which is the term that we give for us, the final generation, before the coming of Mashiach. Ikvasa literally means the footsteps of Mashiach. That's what we're holding, that's what we're up to. Okay? This is the name of tshuva, says the Arizal. Kemuvur gamkin besidah Arizal. As the Arizal explains, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. Return ad Hashem Elokecha. If you want to return to God, you have to have bitachon. You have to believe that you can change your ways. You have to believe that God wants to take you back. And these are all the things that Noach is struggling with. He's mamin ve'eno mamin. He believed in God. He knew the mabul was coming. He just didn't understand how he was going to make it through. That was what he was grappling with. Ukamayim Chazal, as Chazal explain, both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Tanchum, it's not Rabbeinu Tam, it's Rabbi Tanchum, in the Medrash. Afilu Rasha Boteach Vashem Chesed Yisov Avenu. Pasuk in Tehillim says, Vaboteach Vashem Chesed Yisov Avenu. A person who trusts in Hashem, Chesed Yisov Avenu is surrounded by kindness. Bitachon has this ability. If you trust in God, it has this unbelievable ability to save you, even if you're not really worthy of it. I was going to say, did we talk about this? But we didn't. It was a sukkahs piece. We didn't do the sukkahs pieces. But I shared it in shul over sukkahs. There's an amazing mashal that the Medrash brings. Siva Shalom likes to bring this mashal. There was a person who got busted for a crime. It's a Medrash. There's a person who got busted for a crime. And as they're arresting him, he says, "You can't arrest me. I'm a relative of the king's." He said, "You are?" So they take this guy to the palace. They take him to the king. Mamish, they give him access to the king. And they say, you know, to the king, before the king, they say, this guy claims he's your relative, and therefore he should be exonerated from whatever, you know, crime he committed. We busted him for a petty crime. But he said he's a relative of the king, so you better not mess with him. So the king says, beautiful medrash. The king says, this guy is not my relative. I have no clue who this guy is. But, since he knew that by invoking my name, and by trying to attach himself to me, he was trusting in me, I'm pardoning him, I'm letting him off the hook. I don't know this guy at all. I have no blood relationship with this guy. But because he trusted in me, so I'm going to let him get through, even though he's really guilty for his crimes, and deserves to be punished for his crimes. So says the Medrash, when a Rasha has bitachon in Hashem, bitachon can transform things. The Rasha can be saved in the schos of the bitachon. And that generation had a terrible pogam in what? In midas habitachon. And that's what it means. That they committed the crime of destroying the letters before Elokim. That's why they didn't have bitachon. That's why even as the rains descended, they still couldn't change their ways. Kilo batchu ba'Hashem. They couldn't muster up the strength and belief that God would actually want to help them. Top of the left column. Now let's just finish out this paragraph, and then we're going to take a look at Oz Dalet. Okay, and I'll leave you the last paragraph in the piece to finish on your own. One of the big sins of the generation we said was theft. And one of the other big sins that I alluded to earlier was what? Was sexually immoral behavior. It was a very perverse society. One of the averas that the Zohar writes in several places, it's in Parshas Vayechi, I think it's also in Parshas Noach, several places where the Zohar says that there are certain averas that a person can't do tshuva for. The Zohar says that a person who's pogam the os bris kodesh, a person who misuses his bris milah, who commits sexually immoral acts, such a person can't do tshuva. Specifically, it talks about, right, like the lashon of the pasuk here, v'tishaches ha'aretz l'fnei elokim, a person who's mashchiz zera, a person who wastes seed, who spills their seed in vain, not for the purpose of puravu, not for being intimate with their wife in an appropriate way. Such an avera, the Zohar has very harsh things to say about, and even the Gemara, the Maseches Nida, already has some very harsh things to say about it. In fact, the Gemara says, in case you want to know if this comparison to Parshas Noach is a solid one, the Gemara even gives the example that a person who wastes his seed is like a person who brings a marble to the world. There's a very strong connection, again, between the immoral activity and the abundance of water that they were punished with. If you look in the Shari Kedusha from Rav Chaim Vital, the student of the Arizal, he says that everything in the world is made up of Esh, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim. Right? The four elements of creation are fire, wind, earth, and water. And each one corresponds to either a positive or, not or, and, negative expression. Water corresponds to what? Well, on the one hand, Bavakama Daf Yud Zayin, end of the first parak, you look it up with your own eyes, Bavakama Daf Yud Zayin, Ein Mayim Ella Torah. Water is Torah. On the other hand, Mayim, which facilitates growth, Mayim, which allows things to produce, corresponds to what? Corresponds to taiva, to desire. Right? And therefore, this generation, which was involved in all sorts of illicit activities, specifically with regard to, again, sexually immoral activity, they brought upon themselves an abundance of water. Again, water could be Torah, or water could be a hint to arayos. And therefore, they were destroyed with what? With boiling hot water for their crimes. So the Zohar says the aveira of spilling seed in vain is one of the averas that there's no tshuva for. Now, the first thing you need to know is, of course, there's tshuva. It just means that there's a different type of tshuva. That's all that tzaddikim explain. It's a different pathway to tshuva. But it's the type of aveira, and we see it, unfortunately, all the more so in our times, because of the, just what's available in the world today, and so accessible today, and just the way that sex is sold in society at large, right? Because we live in a world where taiva is so in your face, and it leads to, for many people, addictions in terms of pornography and sex addictions and all sorts of things that can be really demoralizing for a person. It can really cause a person to have amuna and bitachon issues. For some reason, those two always go hand in hand. There's a lot to say about that. But very often, a person who's involved in these types of activities feels very distant from Hashem, especially distant from Hashem. So that's the type of aveira where it's hard to believe that God wants you back, and it's hard to believe that you can come back. Sometimes a person, again, becomes addicted to such activities to such a degree that they feel like they can never change. So therefore, that generation, which couldn't change because they didn't believe they could change, Nebuch, they were destroyed. The chiddush of Noach was that Noach kept his bitachon. Despite his uncertainty, despite feeling unworthy, despite all of his doubts about why am I being saved and plucked up from the rest of the world, Boel Teva, God said, go into the Teva, and Noach did it. Top of the column. So, Af Shepagmu, what's the abbreviation? Aleph Vav Beis Kuf? Os Bris Kodesh. Right? The sign of the Holy Bris. Referring to the Bris Milah. Afal Pichein Hayalahem Livtoach Ba'ashem V'chasto Ki Yazorim. They could have believed, they could have trusted that God could save them, despite this was a generation that was addicted to all sorts of really bad stuff. Levilti yidach mimenu nidach, to believe that no one will be cast astray. Uvidibure emes nasu atikun lepagam azeh. He says one of the ways that we fix this avera is through truthful speech. There's a strong relationship between the bris halashon and the bris hama'or, what he refers to here. Ki bris halashon mechuvin keneged bris hama'or. I can't get into it now, it's too late. There's no time to explain that fully right now, but just understand that there's a connection between speech, between the way a person uses their mouth, and the way that a person uses their bris milah. There's a strong connection. There's a very strong connection. A person who talks with foul language and uses dirty words, right? It's either an indicator of sexually immoral activity, or it's a stepping stone to break down one's inhibition to be able to then go and act upon certain things. That's why Ishus Potiphar tried to get Yosef to talk to her. And she said to him, sleep with me. So he said, no, I can't do that. She said, just say that you'll sleep with me. Tal Chazal understood it. She wanted him just to say, let's just talk about it. What it would be like to be together. Because she understood if we could talk in a certain way, eventually they'll come to do it. And Yosef, being the tzaddik, was able to maintain his trust in himself and was able to overcome that temptation. So positive speech, when you speak words of Amunah, when you speak Deburei Emes, that itself is a fixing for the Pagama Bris. When a person is able to daven to Hashem, when a person is able to communicate with Hashem, that's how you overcome this Chorban, this Pagam. V'heim harbu lifshoa ba'amram she'ein lahem tshuva alzeh. And they sinned by saying, we can't change. They spoke the biggest lie of all, which is what? We're hopeless. There's no hope. That's why also, I'll just say very quickly, that's why, right? El ha-teva. What is a teva? Translate the word teva. Ark. Good. Shkaich. No. Yeah? What else does the word teva mean? Like Rashi Tevas. Words. Speech. What are the dimensions of the teva? The teva was 30 high, 300 long by 50 wide. Right? 30 is a lamed. 300 is a shin. 50 is a nun. What's lamed, shin, nun? Shon. Language. Speech. The whole thing. Noach's building a place, a safe environment. Because Noach is a person who guarded his bris milah, so he goes into the teva. He enters into the words. He enters into the lashon. That's the dimensions of the teva is lashon. Because he understands that there's a connection between what? Between the bris hapeh, the bris halashon, as it's called, in all the svarim, not called the bris hapeh, the bris halashon, and the bris kodesh, the bris hamaor, the bris milah. So that generation, they didn't know how to talk in a positive way. And therefore, they didn't trust in Hashem. But Noach, who was a Baal Bitachon, was able to sweeten the din and able to survive and to start the world over. Okay, Ad Kan for now in Oz Gimel. I want to just look very quickly at Oz Dalet because it's very practical. There's a lot here. Let's just take a look at Oz Dalet very quickly. It's not a hard piece. We'll go through it in 10 minutes, and that's it. B'Medrash Rabbah, we're on page 13. B'Medrash Rabbah, Eila told us Noach. These are the chronicles or the family of the children of Noach. We know from the Medrash, Eile Posel Es HaRishon. The word Eile always comes to what? To make a break. Ve'eile, says the Medrash, is a continuation. What's the first word in Sefer Shemos? Ve'eile Shemos. Because Shemos is a continuation of Bereshis. What does Eile mean? Eile means a break. Right? Eile comes to Posel Es HaRishon. Comes to discredit that which came before. Why does Noach begin, Eile told us Noach? Well, you could say it's a break in sort of the plan for the world. The world is going on a certain path. God says we got to scratch the whole thing and start over. So maybe that's Eile told us Noach. Right? Eile comes to what? It says, Eile, Apostle Esri, Shonim Dora Mabel. It comes to discredit and to distance and to cut off, to separate Noach from the Dora Mabel. But let's explain the Medrash more deeply. He explains in the third line, Peres HaMedrash, Hu al pi advarim asher shamati mimori v'rabi hakadosh miradzmin. I heard from the Rebbe of Radzmin, one of his rebbeim. Where else do we have Eile in the Torah? Eile Masei b'nei Yisrael. This is a gvaldik var. It's a var you can live. Right? The first piece was also very practical, to have to really believe in ourselves when it doesn't really make sense why God would want to save us as opposed to anyone else. It's also very important. We got into some deep ideas with this explanation of the Shem Ayin Dalid. It's complicated. This is simple. Eile Masei B'nei Yisrael. These are the, what's Masei? The travels of B'nei Yisrael. Explain the Rebbe of Radzmin. Listen to this. Great. It's a beautiful insight. Eile Posel Es HaRishonim. Eile comes to what? To discredit that which came before. How does a Jew travel? How do I make my way through this world? What are the Masei B'nai Yisrael, the travels, my life story, my experiences? What's it supposed to look like? A Jew has to live with what? Masei B'nai Yisrael has to be what? Eila. Has to be Eila. Eila Masei B'nai Yisrael. I have to always strive to say, in a healthy way, but I have to always say, what I did up until now is nothing compared to what I'm going to do today. And what I do tomorrow is going to be nothing, is going to make today look like it was nothing. Eila Masei B'nai Yisrael means I have to constantly discredit, not because, God forbid, I look scornfully or cynically back at, oh, I remember Shona Aleph, I thought I was so religious, right? I'm such a clown. I wasn't serious at all then. I'm much more serious today. Well, I hope, and in a year from now, I hope you'll be even more serious about your Judaism and more knowledgeable about your Judaism, more committed in your Judaism, and daven with better kavana, and make less mistakes over the course of a calendar year. Eila Masei B'nai Yisrael means that a Jew travels through life with an attitude of what? What I've done until now is not sufficient. I need to do better. A growth mindset. Eila Paslas Rishonim. Shemase B'nai Yisrael Hainu. Ta'aluchos B'nai Yisrael. The travels of a Jew, the experiences of a Jew. Hisnaaguso. And the way that I act, my behaviors. Sarach Liyos B'zeha Ofen. Need to be in this way. Asher Yavin Tomid Yoser B'gadlus Haboriyas Baruch Shemo. That I want to constantly understand Hashem. Ki'ilu, I didn't even know who God was yesterday. Today, I'm so connected to Hashem. Yesterday, I was like a heretic. I was an idol worshiper yesterday. I didn't know anything about Hashem. To constantly renew and to deepen the relationship with Hashem. U'memeila yavin shemei etmo lo hisi kol kach. Yesterday, I didn't grasp anything. Yesterday, I thought I knew the Arba was the Zikin, Shur, Bor, Mav, Hever. I knew what they were, but I didn't know. I couldn't name one tolda of Shur. By today, you'll know a tolda of Shur. I'm a different Jew. The connection to Torah is totally different. A Jew who knows that there's avos and toldos is different than a Jew who doesn't even know that there's avos and toldos. A Jew who can name the avos, right, is different than a Jew who just knows about the concept. A Jew who can name avos and toldos, it's a different relationship. But I have to have that attitude that I'm never satisfied with where I am, and I want to know more, and I want to be more connected. I want to do more. That I don't feel that I've ever fulfilled my mission in this world. To say it was Gila, I didn't know anything, and I constantly try to move past however I served God until now. So he says that's exactly what Noach was experiencing. Eila told us Noach. Lachain Khan, so too over here. Kasher Dibarno, as we've explained. Asher Noach ba'atzmo yalda benafsho sha'afu eno kadai. Like we explained in the last piece, Noach knew that he wasn't worthy. Or as Chazal explained in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Shalo Ela Matzachain, that Noach was only saved because of Hashem's grace and kindness. Me Otzer Matnas Chinam, literally from the treasure chest, or the treasure house, the storage house, of Matnas Chinam, of free gifts. He won a free cruise on the boat. He didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. He didn't pay for it. Memela Pasel Tamid Maisav Harishon. So because of that, Noach felt indebted to be better. Noach said, I'm not any different than them. Yesterday I was the same as the rest of the world. And Hashem, for some kind reason, saved me. As we explained above. I did just like them. Noach said, I'm not so different than them. But Hashem, I trusted in you, Shagamaltali, that you would provide this kindness for me, Va'amarta Bo'la Teva. And that became the attitude of Noach from that day forward. Eila told us Noach. If God has selected me, if God believes me, I just got to keep getting better. For whatever reason, God sees I have growth potential. You know? The scout who comes to Al-Havdil to watch, you know, to watch the athletes, and he's able to identify a certain skill that hasn't even emerged yet. But he sees in the athlete, I can see that he's gonna emerge. Most people can't recognize that. It's a subtlety. So when Noach got picked in the draft, and he's wondering why on earth would Hashem pick me as the top draft pick, Noach said it must be that I have tremendous potential. And therefore Eila told us Noach. He always lived with an attitude of Eila, constantly moving past where he was, trying to be bigger. Vizeu told us Noach, Sheikr told us Sayin Shal Tzadika, Maisim Tovim, like Chazal say, like Rashi says, the toldos of Noach doesn't just mean the children of Noach, it means the mitzvos and maisim tovim. The things that we produce in the world, our good deeds, the Torah that we learn. V'zosi mida tova b'malas ha-tzadikim v'ha-chasidim. And this is the way of chasidim and tzadikim, as is explained in Chovos HaLevavos, v'ha-maisa ha-yedua de Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon, and the famous story of Rav Sadia Gaon. I'll tell you very quickly the story of Rav Sadia Gaon. The story of Rav Sadia Gaon is that one time the students of Rav Sadia Gaon found him fasting and afflicting himself and doing all sorts of things. They said, Rabbi, why, you're a very good Jew. You don't need to beat yourself up so much. And he said, I'll tell you when I learned that a Jew has to constantly try to get closer to Hashem. He said, you're the God of the door. Like, don't talk about yourself as if, oh, I'm the worst Jew ever. You're a great Jew. You're good. You don't have to grow anymore. She says, I'll tell you when I learned that a Jew has to always be growing. Rav Sadia Gaon said, I was traveling one time, and I came to a certain place of lodging, and I spent the night there. And the owner of this this inn, this Kretschmer, didn't know that I was Rav Sadia Gaon. Didn't know who I was, and I was embarrassed. I wasn't going to announce, you know, I'm one of the great tzaddikim of the generation. It was a Jewish owner. He said, he treated me nicely. Treated me very nicely. He said, a short while afterwards, some of my disciples came to that same place, and they were looking for me. And they said, we heard that Rav Sadia Gaon was traveling here. So he said, Rav Sadia, I'd love to see Rav Sadia Gaon. They started to describe him, and they realized, the owner of the inn realized that that distinguished guest he had the night before was, in fact, Rav Sadia Gaon. You know? Can you imagine one of the Gedolei HaDor just like passing through, and you think he's like just a tzedakah collector at your door asking for his place to spend the night, and you find out the next day it was the Gedolei HaDor who slept in your house last night? So the guy felt terrible. So he chased after Rav Sadia Gaon, he caught up with him a few towns over, and he fell on the floor crying, begging Mechila. I'm so sorry. He said, what are you sorry about? It was fine. You gave me a very nice room. You took good care of me. And he said, but if I knew you were Rav Sadia Gaon, I would have taken care of you differently. If I would have known yesterday what I know today, if I would have realized who you are, I never would have treated you that way. He said, you treated me fine. He said, yeah, but if I would have realized who you are, I would have taken it to the next level. So Rav Sadia Gaon said, that's exactly how I feel in my relationship with Hashem. He said, from one day to the next, I look back at yesterday, and I feel like, Hashem, yesterday I thought I knew you. When I davened Shemot Esrei, I thought I was talking to you. But I changed so much by the next day that I feel so badly that yesterday, Hashem, you were in my world, and I didn't even know who you are. I totally missed it. That's the Maisa Yadua of Rav Sadia Gaon. Ber Mayim Chaim brings it in the Sidur Shel Shabbos. So he ends the piece with an amazing line that we say every single day, many times a day, in Shema. Look at this. V'zehu v'samtem es devarai eile al levavchem v'al nafshechem. What's the Pashup Shat? What's it talking about? You should place the words of Torah upon your heart. But he says, no. V'samtem es devarai eile. Put this concept of Eila. Eila is a concept. What's the concept of Eila? Eila is the concept of what? Of starting fresh every day. Of Eila, of trying to take it to a totally new level. Of being postal Eser Rishonim. The way I served God last year is a joke compared to the way I'm going to serve God this year. Mamash, a different level. So place this attitude of Eila upon your heart and upon your soul. Hainu liskor tamid bezeh bedivrei Eila. Think about the concept of Eila. Hainu sha'ata. And the maschalas was davar ma. I'm just about to begin to do something great in the world. Ulavin efes ma begedulas Hashem yisparach asher liyedati arata. That it's ki'il. I didn't even know who God was. I was barely Jewish yesterday. Today I became a Jew for the first time. Will if sol tamid maisei harishonim, and to constantly try to grow and to move past our earlier actions. We learned two unbelievable yisodos today. Number one, a Jew has to believe that Hashem is interested in him. And if it doesn't make sense to you, so just have bitachon. Have bitachon in Chazal, and the tzaddikim, and the psukim that say that God is interested in you. Nah, God's not interested in me. Have bitachon. That God would pick you to start the world over. That every single Jew could be like the Noach, each tzaddik. Am echulam tzaddikim. We're all tzaddikim. We all could be the one person to make it out. I'm not so different than the world. You have to believe. You don't understand it? Good, so don't understand it. Just believe that Hashem is interested in saving you. And secondly, this idea in Ozdalit of Eila. Right? Eila told those Noach. Noach said, if God saved me, if I'm alive, if there's a heart beating in my chest, if I still have the ability to think and to do, then I have to keep trying harder. And I have to try to get better. And from one day to the next, I have to try to make yesterday look like a joke, because today I'm so much more connected and so much more committed. And Amir Tzashem, if we continue to grow in that way, then we will be worthy of making it onto the boat of Mashiach from here, b'yamin o'min. Shkoyach. Yeah, maybe, must be, yeah.